Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today we talk with Alexander Edstrom, CEO of Atomize. In this discussion, we talk about how a chance conversation between one of the founders and a hotelier, combined with previous experience in real-time revenue optimization for online publishers, led to the idea to build Atomize. We also hear about their typical client profile, geographical focus, and product differentiators. Finally, we discuss how COVID has created the need for hoteliers to increase their focus on automation and how that applies to pricing. Hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hi, Alexander. Good to see you again. How are things for you? All well?
Good, thank you. At home, as you can see. A little bit strange to be in a home environment doing these things, but that's how life is these days.
Exactly how it is. Make the best of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, firstly, thanks for having you guys join us as an expert partner. Great to have Atomize on board. Look forward with you over the coming weeks and months, bringing some great content to our audience and our community. And secondly, thanks for carving out some time to be part of this Who Are We video, where we like to obviously get to talk to our expert partners and dig a little bit under the hood, you know, kind of get to hear a little bit more about you and Atomize and how it all came about. So I guess the most logical place to start is if I can hand over to you, you could give us a bit of an introduction to yourself and we'll take it on from there.
Yeah, thank you. So very excited to be on this session. I've been following Revenue Hub for quite some time and I'm a big fan. So it's great to be on this side of things.
Thank you.
Very exciting. My name is Alexander Edstrom. I'm the CEO of Atomize. And we have been in business since, I would say, commercially since early 2018. But before that, so Atomize as a company was founded 2016. Mm-hmm. And we started to do some sort of testing with different hotels and so on. And we are a revenue management system doing primarily tactical revenue management. Mm-hmm. That means that that's also how we look upon the world. So we look upon it as we divide it into two buckets. Which is the tactical revenue management piece, which we do. And then we have the strategic revenue management piece, which is more into reporting and BI reporting and so on, which we don't do. but there is a reason for this as well. And no, but it goes way back, actually. So even if we were founded 2016, the journey actually started 2002. So so I was a CEO for a company called Admeta, which was operating in the ad tech industry.
Okay.
And there we were optimizing revenue, you can say, for online publishers. Mm-hmm. So we had great publishers on board, such as BBC, Sky.com, and so on, and other big publishers. And what's interesting about that is that there we optimized sort of the possibility or likelihood for a click to occur for an ad, and also set the price point for that click. How much was it worth? And as you may know, I mean, in the ad tech industry, when you visit a certain page, you only have the time to provide that price point while you have the guest on that certain page.
Yeah, that moment.
So you load those ads. That means that it's very much real time. I mean, it's everything that in terms of price and calculation, everything and optimization needs to take place before the ad is loaded on a certain page, based on preferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we became the number one in the world in that space. And then we sold that company in 2014, fast forward. And then we, one of the founders of Atomize, which was also the founder of the previous company, was sitting at the dinner and, the traditional way of finding out things, right? So social dinner. And he happened to sit next to a hotelier and, who was mentioning this part, like how it worked in the hotel industry the founder of Atomize, Leif Jägerbrand, and Ole Langenius, they passed the question, so, but how do you set prices? And I think this question has probably been passed quite many times because there are so many RMSs these days in this category. But that was how we came across the challenge. And they said, like, we use Excel and spreadsheets. sort of to and gut, a lot of gut feeling to set prices. And when we asked the question about how many times they changed the prices during during a day, the response was during a day. We don't do it once a day. We do it perhaps once a week or so. And for us coming from a real time environment, that was sort of the ignition point for Atomize.
Yeah.
Where we saw, so we started to investigate this and we said, this can't be true really. So we went out asking 20 hotels about the same question. We got the same response. And then we asked these hotels if they wanted to test, sort of, if we could build something for free and that which they could test an algorithm doing this price optimization for them automatically. And the rest is history, sort of. And then we are here now these days. And it's a phenomenal journey since then.
And in terms of, just to cover off some of the basics. So where are you based? I mean, I know, but for everyone else listening.
Yeah. So sorry about that. Yeah.
No,
so, our headquarters is in Sweden.
Yeah.
In Gothenburg on the west coast.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then we have offices, in everything from 1 to 2 man offices in London, or representation in London, South Africa, Lisbon, Singapore, and also Munich in Germany.
Okay. And do you have a prime focus geographically?
I think, from a distribution perspective, it has naturally fallen so that we have been focusing sort of where we're close to the market, which is Europe.
Mm-hmm.
For Atomize, that's one of the uniqueness with Atomize. We don't need a person on site.
Sure.
I mean, it's a cloud-based solution, right? So we can light it up wherever.
Yeah.
But for natural reasons, such as sales dialogues, communication takes place in the same time zone. We have been focusing on been growing mostly in Europe.
That
but now we've also started to also move into Asia quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's understandable.
So I would say, Europe and Asia, I would say.
Yeah.
Today.
And in terms of, I know there's no such thing as a typical client in the hotel sector, but do you have a specific target market that is your core target market, or are you basically anyone who's interested, we will engage in a conversation with naturally?
Of course. No, but it's the funny thing was that we actually, when we started off, when we handpicked these 20 clients originally, mm-hmm. when we started off with Atomize. And then we wanted to have different kind of hotels because we wanted to see how they differed between each other in terms of their pain points and so on. So among those first 20 hotels, we had the range of 50 rooms hotels to more than 1,000 room hotels.
Right. Okay.
But then when we started to do this commercially, we started off, as I guess everyone does, with independent hotels to really set the process and fine tune things. But I would say after last summer, we said like, okay, now we want to start because we're starting to get a lot of requests from hotel groups and so on, and some bigger and some smaller. And then we said, well, I mean, there seems to be a huge, huge gap there in terms of a market opportunity because no one was really serving that segment within the market. So then we decided let's dive into this and start, build something for that kind of that segment within the hotel market. And so that has taken us to really focus on that now. And much of what we are building now is towards that, to serve so that mid-range.
Yep.
But still, I mean, as with any RMS and any tech vendor, I mean, we do business with everyone. I would say.
You get an inquiry, you'll talk to anybody.
No, but we try to be very honest in terms of many times we turn down clients actually, or those that would like to work with us, and there might be the obvious reason that we don't have an integration with their PMS, but there also might be in terms of that they haven't structured the data in a proper way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have a certain expectation in terms of, you know, we don't have one single report in Atomize. And some hotels and hotel groups, they want reports, and we don't have that. And that is when we say, like, I don't think we can serve you and, mm-hmm. and make you happy, really.
Yeah, and that's fair as well, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, it is. And I think it also comes down to, because I need to just say this, that also, why don't you have reports, Alex? So, but because that also goes back to the DNA of Atomize. So,
well, I think let's use that as the kicking off point, because I think, you know, to enter into a space of the RMS when there were a lot of RMSs and you've come into that space within a couple of years and yet still grown, there's obviously some key differentiators about how your solution works, what you do, what you don't do. So let's start with that, reports, and I'll ask that question. Well, why don't you do reports? Everyone talks about reports.
Oh, it's a really good. Thank you for asking, Trevor. No, but it's a relevant question, because it's not that we just said that let's not do reports, but it goes all the way down to the DNA of Atomize, what we believe in. So when we looked at the RMS space, mm-hmm. And the providers, we could clearly see that the current providers were, what their offering was to sort of enhance or replace the spreadsheets in many ways, mm-hmm. and focusing on doing these with nice reports, so the RMs didn't need to pull reports, and nothing bad about those companies. So then they are doing is probably extremely good with that work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the thing here is that this is where also we need to look at the revenue management space, and we need to make that distinction between tactical and strategic revenue management, and what field do you want to play? Because to do tactical revenue management really, really well, it needs to be real time. Mm-hmm. And that means that you need to be able to calculate and optimize in real time and set the price close to real time. And in order to do that with high frequency, it says it goes without saying, you can't rely on reports to do that tactical decision, because then you have different segments, you have different, you know, channels, and you have advanced purchase discounts and that should be dynamic, and yes, it becomes too comprehensive for mm-hmm. a person to pull reports and try to do tactical revenue management. So this is what goes back to the fact that it needs to be real time, and it cannot be, I mean, optimal prices cannot be set by pulling reports. Mm-hmm. So we're taking that out of the equation and we go straight into execution instead, rather than providing something that for a revenue manager to look at. Sort of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It needs to be taking place immediately and continuously and all high frequency, and that reports don't add any value, or it can't work as a foundation for that.
Understood. And as you say, that does drive very much back to your philosophy and the approach. You know, take away the pricing element and free the person up that's producing the reports, that's changing the pricing, to be doing something more effective with their time.
Yeah, and then they can put their reports, because that's important. I understand that they need to exist, right, for mm-hmm. executive reporting and stuff like that. But then they can spend time on those strategic decisions while Atomize take care of that automated tactical revenue management for them.
Yeah, because revenue management, I mean, yeah, I don't need to tell you, you're in the space, but, you know, people talk about revenue management, and when some people say that, they're still talking about pricing. When some people talk about revenue management, they're then talking a bit more strategic. It's kind of a catch-all phrase that covers that whole spectrum. And often that's sometimes where confusion, but maybe the word frustration is maybe a better word, as professional revenue managers are trying to change that conversation to say, you know, revenue management is not about pricing anymore, particularly how that skill has evolved, and the influence and the merging with the digital marketing, the distribution, the influx of greater data, forward-looking data. You know, there is so much more now available, and the pricing is just a tiny piece of it.
Yeah, this is the thing, because there are a lot of components going into revenue management. And I mean, if you look at the soccer player, for instance, just because he's good at kicking a ball, it doesn't mean that he's good at handling a basketball, mm-hmm. right? And this is the same thing here with the RM. You need to decide, I think, what we will see in 5 years from now is that there will be, you know, you need to be expert in your niche within RM, And those that are doing the full offering will have a hard time to keep up mm-hmm. in all those niches where there are experts in each niche, right?
Yeah.
So, and we can see this. There are, in the strategic revenue management field where there are reports, there are numerous of providers, everything from Microsoft BI and Hotel IQ, Revenue Insight, stuff like that. And then you have also the PMSs have their reports.
Yeah.
So it's a really crowded space. And on top of that, the revenue management systems, the big ones like Duetto and Ideas, they have their reporting. So that it's really crowded space. And I think there is, you need to decide where you want to play. If you're going to sustain, for the long run. So
No, that's a good point. And I think in terms of, maybe turning it around, when you were working with the hotels that you were first trialing the solution, and now that it's commercial out there, what are the things that you've heard coming back from your clients or from those that you're interacting, prospecting with, that maybe indicates some of the differentiation between, as you say, that crowded space that exists out there?
Yeah, I think that we are in a very, in its infancy in terms of where we are heading as an mm-hmm. industry. I think, what everyone knows almost these days is that, what do you say, like 15% or less than 50%, 10% are using an RMS to start with. And then that part of those 10% that are using an RMS, how many of those are actually automating it, the pricing piece of it, which is just a very friction of the total market, mm-hmm. right? So we have a work to do there in terms of building the trust for the automation piece.
Yeah.
But what we can see now with COVID is that it's really working as a catalyst mm-hmm. for automation.
Mm-hmm.
And this has really opened up the eyes for automation in general, where these hotels and hotel groups have, with the very few resources or fewer resources than before to run the hotel operation, they need to find automation alternatives.
I think that's a key part, isn't it? With staff being furloughed or unfortunately having been laid off, there is still a need to perform this function. So if you don't have, you either used to have a dedicated person and now don't, and that role has been passed to somebody else, or you're just multitasking numerous people to try and handle different elements, and there is therefore a need to select what part can I automate. I guess in the same way that accountancy used to be writing in a book, then you had your Excel spreadsheets, then you had accountancy softwares, and the accountants became advisors to the business rather than just handling your bookkeeping, really.
Yeah, exactly. And the same thing I see it many times, I talk about, look at the, everyone has a dishwasher at home, right? And automating that. And today would be quite silly to stand and not trying to use the dishwasher, right? And this is, we just early on in a journey with the trend. I'm certain that this is for all industries, the automation piece is coming. It's catching up.
Yeah,
it will do so here as well.
I think it's to say COVID has certainly highlighted the need, hasn't it? Or put it much more further forward in the vision than it used to be.
Yeah, but then you have the interesting what you mentioned there, Trevor, was the fact that the prices is just one part of this. But that also goes into where we are heading. So Atomize believes in what we're heading towards is total profit management.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now we do revenue management with tactical pricing, but we need to move faster and move forward and also not only capture sort of the different ancillary revenue streams, how they are really affecting the pricing, but mm-hmm. but also the cost elements of a hotel operation mm-hmm. to come up with in the end to actually optimize towards profit.
Yeah.
Where actually a hotel should be able to choose, right?
Yeah.
If they want to optimize towards profit or top line or revenue.
Absolutely.
It's really up to them. But that's the direction it's going. It's not only us, right? I think the whole industry is going towards that.
I think you're right. you know, we've had numerous conversations over the years. I mean, total revenue management has been spoken about for years, but is still done a fraction of the time. Profitability has come to the forefront. If it follows the same path as total revenue management, well, we could still be talking about it in 3, 4, 5 years' time. But hopefully not, because I think what COVID has also shown is the, you know, it's not all about the top line revenue either. And it's about trying to have a better understanding around your costs, what your break even is, and then kind of working backwards and forwards between your strategies. But again, as you say, it's taking that pricing element out of it, is working out the strategies, how you wish to utilize it, and then allowing the pricing to be done in an automated way. Just picking up, because I'm conscious of your time, just talk us through then the solution, how it works, if a hotel, independent property, or you know that mid group that you're targeting wanted to get involved. I mean, naturally cloud based. What's it like as getting you guys on board? How quick is it to get up and running, those kind of elements?
Yeah, so it goes also back to how we look upon everything. So we decided early on that Aptimize, since we don't need that extensive amounts of reports or any reports at all, to be very honest, it should also be able to run this on a mobile phone. So we have it with ours. So you can track your KPIs.
Oh, right. Okay.
Wherever you are. So it's a mobile first design. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it's device agnostic, really. So it works seamlessly throughout devices. But that's has been very important for us. So everything we design it for the mobile phone, and then
that's
take it
interesting.
To the desktop,
right. Okay.
Rather than the other way
around.
Yeah,
going the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's makes it also possible to use it wherever, and you can track it wherever you are on a flight or waiting for a flight or on a bus or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then also it makes it very easy to use. And this is one of those things, as also we have been when we have mapped out sort of this landscape, is that as the bigger, more comprehensive solutions are becoming more and more features, more you know, whistles and bells and everything in the system, what has been starting to be a concern also, especially for the bigger hotel groups, is the time it takes to educate and maintain the educational level of those systems. So, because then you are, and that is the reason for why we believe also in ease of use, because this is a huge cost. It's not that huge cost for one property. But if you have a hotel group, that cost you need to take into account. So if you're going to roll this out across a comprehensive system versus Aptimize, you save a tremendous amount of time in the educational time. So the way it works is that, I mean, usually depending on a bit about on what PMS you're on and so on, but it's... we're talking cloud, so we can light it up whenever and wherever.
Yep.
And today we were growing quite fast before COVID, and then it was flattened out a bit. All those that we wanted to onboard, they said, we want to wait. So we understand that.
I wonder why.
And now they have started to contact us saying, like, now we want to get on board again, to continue this and onboard our properties.
Yeah.
And now we're hitting a little bit north of 500 properties on board with Aptimize.
Very good.
And we really feel that the market is preparing for recovery now. If you would have asked me this question a month ago, I wouldn't say that was the case. But now really, it's starting to feel that the market is planning for recovery.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess in terms of sort of listening through and summarizing some of the key points that you've said, I mean, it's a solution that is adaptable to any size of property and any type of property, and from a group to an independent property. But a lot of it seems to be coming back to the ease of use, the efficiencies through the automation, the simplification. Taking away that pricing element. So, as I say, if I'm now a GM of a 150 room property, single property, I could load this up, have it up on my mobile. I know the pricing piece is being taken care of, and I'm talking with my executive team more strategically, knowing that piece is being dealt with. if I have a revenue professional, I'm going to be getting more support and guidance from them about my commercial strategy because the pricing piece is being taken off. Have I understood that correctly? Yeah. Any other elements in there?
No, but exactly so. Because I really believe that the revenue management role is changing towards more of a commercial role, as you indicated mm-hmm. there, and it needs the future revenue manager will work. I mean, will be a very important key role. It already is, if you ask me. But yep. it will be officially a very important role, and will work across different silos, so if yeah. you say so, and break down these silos and in marketing and sales and everything. So, and then in that respect, they shouldn't be crunching numbers for the sake of setting prices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Elevate themselves as commercial leader more and take care of these strategic questions.
No, that makes sense. And I think back to the point that you made a couple of minutes ago, if the focus and drive is towards profitability, then you know, if you are going to elevate yourself and you're going to be working across departments to be driving towards that, then you've got to free up the time to be able to dive into those departments, to understand those departments, to look at the different revenue streams and to start to work with the finance to understand what the cost structures are as well. Otherwise, it's just not going to come together.
Very true. Fully agree.
Perfect. Well, look, really conscious of your time, but thanks again for joining us. Covered everything that we wanted to touch on and ask you. Are there any points that we haven't asked you around that you wanted just to highlight while you're here?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me. It was great talking to you, as always.
Brilliant.
Looking forward to next time already.
Absolutely. We'll work on some content to bring you back in front of the camera again.
Excellent. Thank you, Trevor.
Look forward to seeing you again. Take care.
Likewise. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cheers.
So that's the end of our conversation today. I'd like to thank Alexander for joining us, and I hope you found the conversation interesting. Please feel free to get in contact if you have any questions. We're always interested in your thoughts, and we're happy to follow up with our guest. You can reach us via our social channels, or feel free to email us at insights@revenue-hub.com. That's INSIGHTS, insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. If you can subscribe on YouTube, that would be great because it really helps us out. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.